Hello, everyone. Welcome to the newest edition of On the Couch with the Dog's Board. This is Doc, and this is the first edition of 2024. In this edition, we have a returning guest. This is our first minister that we introduced a few years ago, but now he is both an ordained and licensed minister. He is a very, very passionate man of God, and he works hard to do everything that he can in God's eyes. But I will let him introduce himself the way he would like to. This is Reverend Derek Gelser.
Thank you so much, Doc, and good evening, everyone. I am Reverend Derek Gelser. I was licensed and ordained by the late Dr. Landon L. Williams, Sr. I have been a member of Greater Macedonia Baptist Church my entire life, and Brian C. Campbell is our senior pastor. And essentially, my role at Macedonia is to assist my pastor in any capacity that is needed. I also have a Bachelor's of Arts degree in ministry from the Luther Rice College and Seminary, which is located in Lithonia, Georgia, pretty much in Atlanta. Earning this degree has equipped me with additional knowledge and skills to serve others. Other than that, my additional professional endeavors is I work in the healthcare industry as well.
Excellent. Thank you for that very, very well detailed introduction, especially for those who haven't seen the first interview. So since we've done our last interview, as you know, Reverend, it's been a few years since we last did it. And, you know, so much in everyone's lives, including both of ours, has changed, including you now have the title of Reverend attached to your name. So how did that come about?
Well, with the title of Reverend, originally, when I first got into ministry and I preached my first sermon at my home church under the leadership of Dr. Landon L. Williams, Sr., once I preached my first sermon, I believe really a week later or somewhere in that area, a few, maybe I'll say weeks or months after I preached my first sermon, I was licensed. And when I was licensed, I earned the title of minister. And then I was licensed for, I'll say, about maybe 3 to 4 years. And after fulfilling all my duties, assisting Dr. Landon Williams to the best of my abilities, going through Sunday school, and even studying at Luther Rice, because most of the time I was at Luther Rice, and he actually ordained me in 2021, which brought me as an actual reverend.
Excellent. So concerning your, I would say, relationship with Pastor Williams, the late great Pastor Williams. You talked about him in our first interview from a few years ago. You lightly touched upon him and who he was, but if you don't mind explaining to our viewers, what has been your relationship with him and how has he influenced you from how long you've known him to his sad passing?
Well, Dr. Landon L. Williams, Sr. was an awesome pastor. He was awesome, wonderful, great. There's so many words, so many things I can say to describe Dr. Landon L. Williams, Sr. He was truly a great man. He was an awesome pastor. And so personally, he was my spiritual father. Pastor Williams has literally been my pastor my entire life until he went home to be with the Lord. And until he went home to be with our Lord and Savior, like literally. I'm talking about my family was going to Macedonia before I was born. And when I was born, it's almost like if you could say I was born inside Macedonia, I never had any other pastor. So, you know, my entire life until he went home to be with our Lord and Savior, Pastor Williams has been my pastor. And see, when I was 3 years old, Pastor Williams told my mom that God spoke to him and told him that I would be a pastor. And so I'm grateful to God that he allowed both Pastor Williams and I to live long enough for his prophecy to be fulfilled. See, there are so many things I have learned from Pastor Williams, and I keep those things near to my heart. Pastor Williams was a great leader, and I'm grateful to have been under his leadership for so many years and had an excellent role model to follow. So I loved Pastor Williams, and even to this day, I know he's departed, but I still love him because all my life, he was literally my only pastor. He's taught me so much about the word. He's explained to me a lot about the word. And even when it comes to explaining to me the word, it's not just you know, read me a scripture and that's it. No, he would read me the scripture, have me turn to it, break it down, make sure I'm taking notes to make sure I understand the context. Because a lot of times I think that's important. When you teach the word to anybody, you must also explain the context of what the scripture is talking about. And so through his leadership, there's a lot I learned. And it's almost like I got the best of both worlds, because Dr. Leonard L. Williams also was a graduate of Luther Rice Seminary. So he went to Luther Rice, and you know, my reasoning for going to Luther Rice is because he recommended it, really. Because originally, when I was looking at going into seminary school, I was really looking at two or three others. I didn't really have much knowledge as to what would be the best one. But when he was giving me information, got some confirmation from other pastors, I looked into Luther Rice. And actually, I'm grateful to this day that I chose Luther Rice, because even while at Luther Rice, I can attest that that is a great college. And anyone who is studying to be a pastor, and you feel like God has called you, I do recommend Luther Rice, because not only does Luther Rice teach you the word, but they break it down for you. And what I mean by breaking it down, I mean, they give you the root of the meaning, the context of the meaning, many, many different ways to look at it. And I really do believe that Luther Rice equips you even more in your ministry journey. And of course, in time, I've had plenty of people to tell me, oh, well, seminary isn't needed to pastor. And quite frankly, on a technicality, it is true. You don't technically need seminary to pastor or be in ministry, because whenever you're being in ministry and pastoring, that is something God called you to do, not anything else. But the thing with going to seminary is that it is nothing wrong in increasing your knowledge. You don't need to go to seminary, but I still recommend it, because it's nothing wrong with increasing your knowledge. There's no sin in it. So for those who say you don't have to go to school to do it, I mean, if you don't want to go to school, don't. But I recommend you do go to school if you are studying to be in ministry and studying to be a pastor, because all Luther Rice does is, yes, it teaches you the Bible, but it kind of gives you a greater way to think about it. It increases your knowledge. And the classes that I took, even while at Luther Rice, were classes like Foundations on Pastoral Ministry, Church History, Preparing Christian Service, Church Counseling. It's almost like they were having little prep classes to give you more of an equipment. The reason why I use the term more and of equipment is because technically, when God calls you, he will already equip you with the things you need to be in ministry. But that's why I thank God he allows seminaries as well, because seminaries just essentially kind of assist. It gives you an upgrade. And so anyone who's looking to study, I recommend seminary, and not only just Foundations on Pastoral Ministry, but every book of the Bible had a class. You'll have a class that's titled the Book of John, the Book of Matthew. And what it does is it teaches you a greater understanding of the context of what these books are talking about, biblical history. So I am very grateful that I took Dr. Leonard Williams Sr.'s advice by going to Luther Rice.
Excellent. So with your experience with Luther Rice, what was your experience attending there versus attending your previous college, FSCJ?
Well, FSCJ was really a school where there were some lingering classes that I still needed to take. And originally I was going to graduate from there and then go to Luther Rice. But then they said, well, you done already took the classes you needed to take, so you can really just transfer and go on and just skip and get your bachelor's. And so with Luther Rice, I essentially did all online. So the only time I had to go up to Luther Rice was when it was for graduation. And, you know, that was a great time because, you know, while I went for a weekend to Atlanta because we had the rehearsal that was on a particular day. And so not only did I use that weekend to go to my graduation, but it was my first time in Atlanta. And I was able to go to the Georgia Aquarium for the first time. Wonderful experience. The Coca-Cola Factory for the first time. Wonderful experience. The traffic was a little bit hectic, but that's okay. You know, it's a busy city. But I did all online for the purpose of so that way I can stay home in Jacksonville and work my job, because at that time I was at Chick-fil-A, and I can still assist at the church when needed and preach when needed. So That's one of the things I love about Luther Rice. They work with my schedule. They said you can literally have all online. And quite frankly, I love the online classes because, you know, you had your syllabus, log in, you see the assignments there, make sure you study and you're good. And the lectures, you know, looking at the lectures and the assignments that they gave and the study guides, it's almost like if I was on campus. So honestly, I really think Luther Rice did a great job with the whole ordeal of having all online. So, yeah.
I definitely wanted to ask that because for people who are listening, who've never attended college period, but especially a seminary school, I just wanted for them to have a clear understanding because I'm glad you were able to touch upon that a bit. But you had brought up Chick-fil-A. I know, because me and you have talked before, that you used to work there. So what was your experience at Chick-fil-A like, if you don't mind speaking about it?
I love Chick-fil-A. When I was there for about 5, maybe 6 years, but I might have been 6 because I was actually there for a long time. I was a team lead, I guess, slash manager when I was there. And I enjoyed my time there. The people were really nice when I left, you know, because I found another job. They gave me a nice little goodbye gift and brought me a cake. And the owner, Tuck Campbell, is a wonderful person. You know, I enjoyed working under him and my manager, Caitlin, at the time. And, you know, I really enjoyed working for them. They're great people. Chick-fil-A is a wonderful place to work for. When I was there, you know, the employees were nice. The customers were pleasant. And the one thing I love about Chick-fil-A is Chick-fil-A prepares you for when you do go into the corporate world. They teach you different foundational things to help equip you with the things you need in order to go work in the corporate field. So we had different standards like saying my pleasure, put the customer first, customer service. And so anyone who's looking to be equipped with the skills to go work in corporate, start, and you're looking to start off at your first job, go to Chick-fil-A. I had a great time working there. I love the people there, had many good experiences there, had a lot of great experiences, events that we had. Me working at Chick-fil-A was a wonderful experience. And even when I left, it took me about a year or two before I can really get over it because I still miss working there even to this day. They're the best fast food restaurant on the market to me, and they're the best fast food job to work at on the market to me. So I really love my experience at Chick-fil-A. Chuck Campbell, who is the operator, he's a wonderful person. Me and him had a great relationship there at Chick-fil-A. He was like another father to me, you know, with his advice and everything. And, you know, Caitlin, the manager, wonderful person. Her and Chuck was like very supportive of my schedule because they knew sometimes I had to be at the church for different events. And so they worked with me on that one. And most importantly, I like the fact that they're founded on Christian backgrounds. And one of my favorite things about being at Chick-fil-A is that every now and then I had the opportunity to discuss with people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you've had some people that did not know who Jesus was, or they heard of Jesus but did not know Jesus. And so, especially with being in ministry, that is technically every, you name it, minister, reverend, pastor, bishop, whatever, that is everyone's goal, to win more souls to Christ. And anybody who's watching this, please understand this, that Paul said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believeth in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And if I can really break it down even further, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so essentially what I'm trying to say is that it does not matter your background, doesn't matter where you come from. Every one of us have an opportunity to come to Jesus. And so seeing that we just passed Resurrection Sunday, our technically high holiday. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned in church when I preach is that I said that the fact that Jesus has not came back yet shows you that he is still waiting on you. Now, not trying to be funny, but I wouldn't even wait 10 minutes for some people. But he's waited over 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years, and he still has not come back yet. What that tells me is that he is still waiting. He is still waiting. Because there are some of you, he is still trying to give an opportunity to come back to him, to accept him as your Lord and your Savior. And I'm saying this on this podcast because the Lord loves you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. But you have to confess and believe that he is who he says he is. Remember what John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." As a matter of fact, that's the most important scripture in the whole entire Bible. If you don't feel like listening to me explain the whole entire Bible, let me just tell you this. There's a man named Jesus who died for your sins, and on the third day got up with all power in his hands. And because he got up with all power in his hands, he defeated hell, death, and the grave. And when he got up, there was one thing that he never said before. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And, you know, on my last point regarding this is that I remember there was a time when the disciples asked, how can we know the way? Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man goeth up to the Father but by me." Who is that me? It is Jesus. So if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, every day is an opportunity to accept.
Very well said. Very well said. But I have to ask you, you are the first person who worked at Chick-fil-A that we've actually had. What was your favorite thing to, or is your favorite thing currently to order from Chick-fil-A?
Well, I was very random with mine, but it kind of stayed in the same circle. It depended on what I felt like eating that day. Sometimes I would get 2 12-counts and a medium fries. Sometimes I would do 2 number one sandwiches, extra pickles, extra butter with some cookies. You know, I was very random, but it was between them two. Every now and then, it'd be a 4-count strip. I love their milkshakes. The frosted coffees, frosted lemonades. I mean, I really enjoy Chick-fil-A food. It was kind of hard to really just stick with one set. So every other day, I would get something different because everything there was pretty good, honestly. I couldn't really pinpoint. See, at other fast food restaurants, you can point out something that's nasty. But at Chick-fil-A, everything there was good. Even when it was something new that came out, it was good. So I think I was just very random with mine, so.
Thank you, Reverend, for also giving us your food and culinary-based opinion, too, as well. So I wanted to ask you, so since you've served or currently serve at your church, Greater Macedonia Baptist Church, so explain, if you don't mind, for the viewers exactly what your title is, how you serve the church, your responsibilities, things of that nature.
My title is essentially Reverend Derek Gelzer. And so my role at Macedonia is that I assist my pastor, Brian C. Campbell, in whatever capacity I can. So essentially that really labels me as an associate pastor. Because even when I was ordained with someone else as well, the other person that was ordained with me was Pastor Dr. John Montgomery. And basically when Landon Williams ordained both of us, he said that Macedonia now has 2 additional pastors. And so with that, that pretty much labeled me as Reverend Derek Gelzer. And so essentially my role is really assisting. And so if anything, if anybody want to sum up what I'm technically saying, I'm more so of an associate pastor, me and the other guy, Pastor Dr. John Montgomery. So some people call me Pastor Derek. Some people say Reverend Derek. But if anybody was curious about my role that I serve at Greater Macedonia, is that I just assist my pastor, Brian Campbell, in whatever he may need, or if he needs me to preach a particular Sunday, you know, I assist to the best of my ability.
Excellent. So starting from becoming a regular minister all the way to being a reverend now, what, if you've noticed any, what has been an escalation of different duties that you've noticed that you've had to do, be it both in your church or outside of it?
I want to say, as far as duties, it could be very random at times, if I could be honest, because I know at our church, I guess sometimes pastor may need me to do communion, or the group that I'm in, the men of purpose at our church, sometimes I may have to assist with that. It just really depends. The way I see that is that whatever task I'm granted with, I let the Lord lead me and guide me, essentially.
I'm glad you were able to put it like that. One thing I would like to ask you, and I know a few of our viewers would most likely be interested in knowing as well, is, especially being a young Black man in the ministry, in the Christian clergy that you are, and getting to the level that you've gotten to at such a young age, at 28 years old, what has been some of, let's say, your biggest struggles concerning your age, your skin color, and things of that nature being in the ministry?
One of the most significant things I have learned after being ordained as a reverend is that the devil is busy. Although I would not say there have been struggles, but I would say there have been challenges. And as I continue to grow in ministry, one thing I have learned is that I cannot please everybody. So I simply just do the best that I can. I preach the gospel. I teach God's word with the goal of saving souls. I try to keep my mind free from distractions so I can hear from God. And see, you know, another thing too, when I was at my Lutherite graduation, there was this guy preaching. I forgot his name, but I think he was a former football player for the NFL, I think. I don't know if it was NFL or college, but when he was speaking, it was a great message, but there was one thing out of that message. Matter of fact, two things out of that message that caught my attention. He was saying how in his younger days, he was worried about how many people were in the seats and how many people responded. And one of the things that he said when given that example is that God told him, you preach the word and you leave the results to me. And so that stuck out to me because it said, because what that was saying to me was, is that don't worry about what someone's response may be. Don't worry about who come and who don't. You preach the gospel like you were called to do, and you leave the results to me. In other words, you do what I called you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. And that encouraged me. And my favorite part about his whole message is at the end, he closed his Bible and he said, at the end of the day, regardless of what happened, our goal is to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So yeah, even though with me being young, I know struggles may come. I know hard days may come, but I know the God I serve. And so because I know the God I serve, I can say with all confidence that if God be for us, who can be against us?
That's true and very, very well said. But Reverend, since, like I said, you are the first Reverend who we've interviewed, if you can think of any, what would be any misconceptions about your process, your job, your duty as a reverend, as a minister? What are some misconceptions that you can say that people may have that necessarily that you could answer or rectify? I know there are many misconceptions for things concerning clerical matters, especially being a minister, that people have about your lives and the things that you have to do.
Well, when it comes to misconceptions, that's a good question, actually, because a lot of times, you know, I'm really not sure what some people are thinking. I mean, the only time I can really come up with a misconception if someone decides to share with me what they think, and depending on what they're thinking, I will be able to determine then if they have a misconception about me. I will say this. Hope if there's any misconception, it's not a bad misconception, you know. And so I really don't know if anybody's really had a misconception, because if they have, they never came and told me about it. You know, I've had people come and maybe ask me questions, or, you know, make comments, but it never, but I never had an experience where someone will come and say something and I'm like, wait a minute, you're not looking at this right. That's a misconception. So, you know, I don't think I've ran into that problem yet. I know at some point I probably will. I mean, I guess the only funny, I have a funny misconception, you know. Remember how I mentioned that, you know, I grew up in Macedonia. Well, my mom, my mother looks like she could be my sister. What I mean by that is that my mom is in her 50s, but she looked like she could be 25, which is a good thing. My mom, I have a wonderful, outstanding mother, and some people thought that me and her were married. And so, you know, we would come to church, you know, and when, I guess when people saw us walk in, people thought that we were married. And so on a Sunday, I just explained to the congregation that, hey, we're not married. She's my mom. I know she looks like she's 20, but no, she's actually my mother. And I think that's a gene we have in our family, because my grandma's near 80 and she looks like she could be 60. So, I mean, I thank God for that gene, but that's really the only misconception, which is not a bad one, but I still didn't want people to think me and my mom was married. I wanted people to know she is my mother. And so that's the only really big misconception I have to deal with, because I think one Sunday we were walking out, somebody stopped me and they said, how long y'all been married? I'm like, excuse me? No, we're not married. That's my mother. So, you know, that's the only real misconception. Some people literally thought for years that me and my mom, they thought she was my wife versus my mother. And so, you know, glad I got that cleared up.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that was cleared up too. Because one thing I was going to bring up and ask, because I know one that I can think of, is that a lot of people have a misconception that anyone who works in any type of religions, but specifically a Christian clerical field like you do, has to be perfect. And that's something that, as you know, Derek, that's far from the case.
Well, you know, the same people who say they're supposed to be perfect are the same people that need to pick up their Bible and read what Paul says. Paul says all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. And so, you know, and so the best way to put that is that for anybody who think you have to be perfect, remember this: God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So, I mean, you don't necessarily, and I'm not saying that to say I'm giving you an excuse to just do whatever you want. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God is not looking for somebody who's perfect, because technically none of us are perfect. See, if we were all perfect, then Jesus would have no reason to come. Jesus came because of our sinful nature. And so if the Bible says all have sinned, that means everyone, pastors, deacons on down, everybody, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so for people who say you have to be perfect, you go out to read the Bible, because Bible does say all have sinned and fallen short. So, yeah, that's my answer to that.
Excellent. I'm glad you were able to clear that up for people who may have thought that. So you brought up your mother. I know you brought her up before. So that begs me to ask, what has been your family's role, or how instrumental have they been in your pathway into the ministry?
They've been very supportive, especially my mother. Like I've mentioned before, I have a wonderful, outstanding mother. I love her so much. And she has been very supportive every step of the way in my ministry. And so I just thank God for her every day. My family has been supportive, but she's been the most supportive.
Excellent. I'm happy to definitely hear that. Very happy to hear that. But that also lets me beg to ask this question. For your peers, people, friends, classmates, just your overall peers, what have been their reaction to your pathway, from you being interested to preach, starting preaching, all the way to now being a reverend? Do you still have many of the same friends? Have many of them, let's say, trailed off? Like, what has that been in terms of your life with other people and your friends in the ministry?
I haven't really had any of them to really walk away. You know, I still have some of the same friends. I know we've kind of disconnected from talking as much because we all have gotten so busy. Like, even one of my friends now, he's a therapist in the move to Georgia. So, you know, we're still friends. It's just we haven't been able to talk as much because we're both like busy throughout the whole week. So I haven't really had any friends that was lost. They all have really been supportive as well. You know, I haven't really had any friends that were lost or anything. So they've been very supportive.
Excellent. That's excellent. Having support from so many aspects of your life is definitely a very, very important thing. Reverend, one thing I would like to ask you, and, you know, us going towards the closing parts of the interview, where do you see yourself in 5 years, in 10 years? Where do you see yourself in the ministry, let's say, in 5 months? Like, in your future that you can picture, God willing, where do you see your overall pathway?
See myself growing more in ministry. You know, because me personally, I used to try to say where I want, where I see myself and what I do with this and what I think, but I see myself growing more in ministry, increasing in ministry. Essentially, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. So realistically, I'm looking to God for what my next few months, next few weeks, next few years hold. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I'm more so seeking first God for my future in the next coming weeks, months, days, years, you name it. I'm putting it all in the Lord's hands.
Excellent. So going towards the closing, Reverend Gelzer, I just want to say or ask, is there anything you would like to ask us, anything you would like to ask the readers, say to the readers, anything you would like to ask or say at all?
Well, I just want to say thank you again for inviting me back on the show, Doc. It's been a long time coming. I think the last time I was on this show was, I want to say, at least maybe 3 or 4 years, so I'm happy to be back. I hope you all enjoyed me. Remember, if you don't know Jesus, Paul said it best, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believeth in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I enjoyed my time on this podcast. Great questions. I hope I was able to answer everything to their capacity, if you know, because I know some people want you to answer a question a specific way. I hope I answered it to the best way you allow me to. But yeah, I really enjoyed my time here. And always, I know this may sound weird, but I always, the two things I love talking about the most in a good way is, of course, you know, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, because he's been my Savior for years, and I love him so much. If it was not for Jesus, I wouldn't even be in the position that I'm in. So I thank God for Jesus. And next to talking about Jesus, I love talking about my mom. So I'm glad you brought up the questions about, you know, how's my family, if they're supportive or not or whatever. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to thank my mom for how supportive she's been, because she's been supportive every step of the way. And she even supportive now, even every time when I preach, she wants to look in to see what I'm preaching about. She's at every sermon. And so, yes, I have a wonderful, outstanding mother. I love her so much. And I just thank God for her. And I thank God for her being supportive every step of the way. And most importantly, I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just for having my life so blessed to preach for him.
Thank you, Reverend, especially for coming on. And thank you for answering to the questions to the best of your ability. It's always great to have different people from different walks of life, especially the walk of life of God. Before I close, exactly, could you explain to the people your different social media where they can find you, listen to you, connect with you when it comes to your career in the ministry?
There's two ways you can do it. You can either add me on Facebook. My Facebook name is Derek Gelzer. For anybody who has a pen and paper, it is D-E-R-R-I-C-K. Last name spelled G-E-L-Z-E-R. I preach every other Sunday, not every Sunday. It's every now and then, it may be a back-to-back Sunday, but it's really every other Sunday. And what I do is I share the whole church live stream on my page. You could do it that way if you want to, like, hear me preach, add me on Facebook, because there's some sermons on that right now, actually. Just one for another Sunday. Or you can go to Greater Macedonia Baptist Church Facebook page. Literally, Greater Macedonia Baptist Church. And they have like a green logo or something. And so you can click on that and view my sermons there. It'll be all the church services, but you'll be able to see on the picture which one I'm preaching on. So those are the ways to kind of check me out if you would like to.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting us know that and the viewers. Even though this is going to be on download and streaming platforms first, I'm going to definitely be putting that information in the description and in the video version of the YouTube version so that they could see that and have that to be understood on a visual level, just like we do for all of our previous interviews. But thank you for that, Reverend Gelzer. Thank you very much for coming. Again, everyone, please follow his social media, follow our social media across all of the platforms, the Dogs Board, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, everything of the nature. By the time you hear this version or you see our first advertisement, this version should be out within a few days from that, hopefully. And then the YouTube version will be out soon after that. But if that will be all, again, thank you very much, Reverend Gelzer. I highly appreciate it. I would love to have you on the show again.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Well, if that would be it, thank you, everyone, for listening. Doc and Reverend Gelzer signing out.